Not going to believe this. Trap Guy's coming to you from out front of the Golden 1 Center. We just saw, what, about four Warrior fans. Look, there's one, two, three more.
Which jersey they got on?
Steph Curry. That's all. I think it's a rule. If you root for the Warriors, it's a law. You have to wear a Steph Curry jersey if you're a Warrior fan.
It's like he's the only. I mean, we got young and old. It doesn't matter.
This guy
right?
over
this
here.
Guy, yeah. Nice, crisp, new one. It's ridiculous, man. And, you know, somebody texted me, our guy Scott Navarro, sales guy, said, where's the Joe Barry Carroll jerseys when
exactly.
you need them, right? That shows me you're a true Warrior fans, not these Johnny-come-lately, fly-by-night Warrior fans. Look at it. Who's Steph Curry, right?
You know, one time I was selling pretzels in San Francisco when I was in college, and I get on the bus. I was taking the 19 Polk, whatever it was. Joe Barry Carroll got on the bus. People go, Joe Barry. Yeah. And it's Joe Barry Carroll, and he could barely stand. And then he, you know, two stops, and he got off. So he's just kind of a different kind of cat.
A man of the people.
Yes,
huh?
He was. Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Big moment at home, if I may share, Drapes, because my wife, Xenia, she grew up as a Warrior fan. When they moved here, her dad, you know, they were in Pacifica. Her dad loved the Warriors, and she would watch games with her dad, so she loved the Warriors. And then I was working down there for a while, loved the Warriors. So last night we're talking about the game, and, you know, she said, well, I'll be watching the game. I said, she says, my mom is going to be rooting for the Warriors. I said, well, how about you? She said, I'm rooting for the Kings because it's better for you. I was like, well, how about that?
Now, that's
how
a good wife right there. That's
how
a good wife
that?
Right there, man. That's impressive, right? You know, it's that's a keeper.
Yeah. You know what it is when you say, though, I'm going to root for this or that. You don't know until it happens. You can't really control who you root for
right? You need to catch her in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter, 2 minutes later, her true colors will show, right?
According to The Ringer, they have a little piece on all the play-in games, and they asked the question, what's the biggest storyline? The Ringer says the biggest storyline for this game tonight is Draymond Green and how vitally important he is for all the problems he's caused the Warriors.
Really?
How vitally important he is to the Warriors' cause. They say, given the health disparity between the two rosters, the Warriors should win this game, but they'll need 30-plus effective minutes from Green to make that happen.
Ooh. So Draymond Green, the X Factor tonight.
Yeah, according to the Ringer, yeah.
Well, here's the thing about Draymond, and I've said it before. I'll say, he can help you or he can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Which Draymond shows up tonight? You know, you look at a Draymond that's stomping out Sabonis, barking at officials, getting technicals. He hurts his team when he does that. When he's under control, playing the team game, you know, keeping his emotions in check, he's, you know,
mm-hmm.
He's a litmus test for how this team does, I think, you know, because we know what we're going to get from Steph. Steph's going to be Steph. Klay's going to be up and down. But Draymond, to me, he's the guy that, you know, it can, like I said, hurt the Warriors or help them.
Yeah.
And so I agree with that. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, hold up.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that the fans tonight are going to give him. Ah! And in the past. Oh, look who's here.
Selena, you're a little late today, young lady, but I'll still
bring and
take
his food.
French dip. Anybody want French dip?
Wow.
We got French dip here.
That's
I appreciate
excellent.
You. Thank you, Selena, coming out in this heat.
Okay,
all right.
Guys,
all right,
you
love.
Feeling good
Thank
about
you.
Tonight?
Yes.
Right.
We feel like you got your purple on.
Yeah.
I love it.
Can I see you for dinner?
Yes,
nice.
I'll see you down there. I'll see you. Yes. Little French dip, Nate.
Yeah,
you want some
nice.
French dip? There you go.
You.
Usually I give it to RJ, but he's inside. So
RJ sitting there go, man, I wish French was here.
I know he's missing
I'm hungry.
Out today.
I'm hungry. Yeah. All the right. fans are gonna get Do you think it's better for the Warriors if Draymond rises to that? We've seen that this year from him.
Yeah.
You know, starts barking at everybody, yelling at the crowd like it's a wrestling match. Or do you think it's better for the Warriors if he just Just play a cool place through it.
For the Warriors?
Yeah.
I think it's better for the Warriors if he plays it cool.
He's not going to play
cool. He's not going to play it cool. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I think, not that you want to do anything dirty, but you got to do something to get under his skin. You know, draw a couple early fouls on him, get him yelling at the officials. Then he forgets about the task at hand, which is actually winning a basketball game. And so, yeah, I think Draymond Green, man, as talented of a player as he is, they wouldn't have won the four championships, all that. But when you look at, you know, where he is in his career right now, I think, you know, a lot of times he's too much. He's not worth the trouble.
Right.
And so if you're Sacramento, if you can get under his skin a little bit, I think you could use that to your advantage.
I think Jason Dumas said it best, though, when he joined us.
Yeah.
The bottom line is if Steph wants Draymond around, he's going to be around.
Yeah. Or vice versa. If Steph wants him gone,
yes,
he's going to be gone.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so, no, we'll see, man. It's Draymond Green, is, you know, when you look at biggest villains in the NBA for Kings fans, Draymond is at the top of the list.
By the
way, there's nobody more hated than Draymond Green.
Did you hear, speaking of villains, what your guy Dylan Brooks said yesterday?
No, that's my guy. What did he say?
He said he looked at the roster, the Olympic roster, and he said, it's like all these guys are getting together to beat me.
No, he said that?
Yes. All these guys are getting together to beat Canada and to beat me.
Team Canada, yes. I like it. I like it. I love it. Even though Shea's on that team. Jamal Murray
will be
shooting.
Oh, they're all getting together team to try to beat me.
Did you hear that Kawhi Leonard's the 12th guy?
No, I didn't.
They said that today. So
that's unfortunate.
No De'Aaron Fox.
That's unfortunate.
Kawhi Leonard will be the 12th guy on Team USA.
You mentioned an X Factor. Draymond is an X Factor. Jay has some sound from us. This is Mike Brown from practice yesterday talking about a potential X Factor in this game.
I mean, we the biggest thing, in my opinion, is we have to be physical with these guys. They're just so good, so talented offensively. They can put up 140 points in the blink of an eye. Steph can put up a 40 or 50 piece in the blink of an eye. And if we let them get comfortable, it can be a long night for us. And so the physicality has to be there, especially defensively, but even offensively too, with us trying to get our fellow teammate open when it comes to setting the pick and roll or setting pin downs or anything like that.
So that's a very X-y and O-y answer to the question. Kings got to be physical tonight. They got to match Draymond's physicality. They definitely have to be the team that establishes early on, we're not going to get pushed around tonight.
And I like that Mike Brown is saying that. Here's why, Whitey. Because we know the officials are letting them play right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're the aggressor, you're the guy that the team that's being more physical, he's sending a message to his team. I would rather, and you know from coaching, I would rather have to dial a team back, a guy back from being too physical than to try to motivate them and say, you know, go out there and be tough and rugged and physical. And so he's setting the tone very early on with his team. And I agree, man. I don't think the Warriors want that physicality smoke. Mm-hmm. Like, as great as Steph is, he's amazing. But if you touch him up, you get physical with him, think about it. The last game we won down there, the double team at the end to force the turnover on Steph, that was physicality.
Yep.
That's what, you know, that's playing defense with purpose. And that's what I think this team needs to do tonight.
Speaking of X factors, how are these Kings different from the Kings the Warriors have already seen this year? We're right back with that. From right in front of the Golden 1 Center to drive guys getting ready for Kings and Warriors and the first play-in game in Kings history next year.
Popcorn. Special delivery.
Yeah. James brought the popcorn and then showed us a little something that we hadn't.
I'm on the air, James. I have not tried the cheddar jalapeno popcorn yet. But I will say this. This is a family program, my friend, and you can't be showing your drawers
James
out
just
here.
Drapes them.
Security. James.
I've never seen that before, James. You know, we've talked about this. You know, they have from way back when they have split caps, half Giants, half A's, which they're deplorable. Well, James just showed us that and I'm still not sure why he has like boxers that are
split
half Warriors and half Kings.
And he showed us, like, he pulled them up so you could see.
He works for the Kings.
And he's in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And I don't know
what that looked like from your angle. I mean, that's almost look, I love the guy.
There he is again. There he is again.
I mean, what if Vivek finds out about that? Is he in trouble? I mean,
I don't know, right?
Underwear that's half Warriors underwear.
But he's in trouble for showing them off, not wearing them.
Fine.
No, Vivek came from the Warriors, though. He came from the Warriors. I'm sure he got some old Steph Curry jerseys back at home or something. Vivek's a man of the people. He understands.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we can't take anybody out of here. I'll tell you.
There's three Kings jerseys. You got 13 Christie.
Yep.
You got Bibby, and then you got Fox.
Fox as well.
And there's a number 40 down there. Trey Lyles
40.
Down there. Yeah, going down the stairs.
Yep.
Whereas the Warriors, Curry.
Curry. Right. It's that's why I said the Warriors are new money. It's like their franchise just started 10 years ago. You know, it's like their fan base is zero. No, I know they had a loyal fan base, but now they're coming out the woodworks like roaches out here, man. It's killing me. And I know the Lakers we're supposed to hate, but for some reason, it's the Warriors colors and the Warriors jerseys bother me more than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Warrior fans can be very, very condescending. That's
right.
even more a little bit than Laker fans. And that's the thing we despise about both of them. They're so condescending towards Sacramento. And that's why the Kings, oh my goodness, if the Kings were able to send the Warriors home, can you imagine?
This would definitely be the end of the Warriors so-called dynasty, even though it's already gone. But this is the final nail in that coffin. And to do it, for Sacramento to do it, so-called little brother.
Yeah.
We had Jason Dumas on, and it's sort of like he said, you know, at some point you go your whole life, you don't beat your dad, but then you beat him,
mm-hmm.
and then you just keep beating him.
Keep beating him.
And that's where we're at right now. We need this game.
Yeah.
The city needs this game,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I'm hoping our guys respond tonight.
How do you think the Kings are different from the Kings the Warriors have already seen this year? Keon Ellis is the first thing, right?
Oh yeah, Keon Ellis. They have no tape on him, you know, like against them. And
I think he's played he's guarded Steph for a minute and four seconds or something so far.
And I was on the radio with some of those guys down in the Bay Area today, and they were asking me about Keon Ellis and what he brings to the table. And I said, obviously, the 3-point shooting, the defense, but he's also had a little float game, you know, that he's shown off as well. And so I think he'll be. And I'm not worried about Keon playing in this environment. Like, I think he has the temperament. He's shown it this season. He's ready for his opportunity. And so I expect a good game from Keon Ellis.
I think you're right. If he was the type that would be prone to getting a little antsy or nervous, he would have never been able to handle those starts that came out of nowhere. Right.
Exactly. I mean, he got thrust into the starting lineup of a playoff caliber team and didn't look back, didn't blink once. And so the fact that he's only gotten better. Look at the 3-point shooting numbers and look at his impact out there. This is not a fluke with this guy. This is who he is. And, you know, he's taking 5 threes a game, I think it is, and shooting better than 40%. I mean, this guy is ready for his opportunity.
So these guys played once in October and then twice in November and then once in January. Would you say that Davion's a different player than the player?
We talked about the 3-point numbers from Davion. Davion looks so calm, cool, collected, confident as well. And so,
and he's having an impact off the bench.
And he's having an impact off the bench. The shooting numbers, his 3-pointers. And you look at his numbers since Malik went down, it's close to 10 points per game. And so, yeah, man, he's stepped up. And that's what you're going to need tonight. You need guys to step up. Who's going to have that game? And I think both our guys, you know, are capable of doing that tonight, especially at home. And let's not forget, too, Whitey, game 6 last year at Golden State was one of Davion's best games. He went down there and he helped the Kings win at Golden State. So I think he's ready for this moment.
You know, that takes us back to what was a big controversy around here at the end of that series. And I know you and I talked about it. A lot of people wondered why in game 7, Davion didn't play more. And you pointed out to
us.
You
remember what I said.
He said the Kings have numbers that show that Herter did a better job on them.
Exactly. And yeah. And that goes to the analytics. Sometimes
did
analytics.
John Hollinger supply those numbers.
It's ridiculous, right? It's like sometimes you trust the numbers instead of trusting your gut, your eye test, what you see out there. And it's clear Davion at the time was the best on-ball defender. And you had Kevin Herter for the majority. Like, Davion played 8 minutes in game 7. It's no coincidence that Steph scored 50 and Davion only played 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Mike Brown had a mulligan to do it over again, he would have switched that up.
And then the other big difference is obviously the Kings are playing such better defense than they were even as recently as January.
A much more improved defensive team. This team gets after it. I think the Warriors would be shocked by the Kings' physicality. You know, it's definitely stepped up over the last 6 weeks or so. And it starts at the point of attack. You remember as well as I do, Whitey, for the first 3 quarters of this season, we were talking about on-ball defense, on-ball. That has improved dramatically since, you know, mid-March or early March. And Keon Ellis is a big part of that. And so I maintain that if you can guard Steph as much as possible with just one guy, okay, and occasionally throw some help and some traps and switch it up. Remember that 24-point comeback was because they switched it up late in that game. Mm-hmm. You know, they went with trapping, they blitzed Steph, and it caught them off guard. And so I expect more of that tonight.
Yeah, they had success that first game of the year against the Warriors. I remember late, the Warriors won by 8, but the Kings came back late. They made a run, and they were trapping them. They had some success with that then as well. So that's something that obviously you're not going to do that for 48 minutes, but it's there for Mike Brown to spring on them. Who knows when. It's going to be quite a matchup tonight with so much on the line for the Kings. How much better is the Kings defense? This is a tough one. You're not going to like it. How much better is the Kings defense by virtue of the fact that we love them both, but Malik and Herter have been out. The defense has been better since they haven't played. Is that a factor?
You're right. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to like it. I will say this.
But it's a fact that they're not great defenders. I don't think anybody would dispute that.
Right. No,
the offense is certainly not as good.
They're not elite. They're lockdown defenders.
The offense is not as good since they're out there. No question about that. Is the defense a little better?
How about this? Can we say a byproduct of those guys being out is that the defense has improved? Now, Malik's only been out for 2 weeks. The defense was improved early March, too. Mm-hmm. Let's not act like, you know, Malik goes out all of a sudden. I think the real change happened, and we had Matt George on earlier, a great reporter that he is. When Mike Brown went with the three-guard lineup, when Mike Brown decided, you know what, I can use Davion and Keon together at the same time. It doesn't have to be either or. And so, and it coincided, this is my guy, but it coincided with Chris Duarte not getting minutes anymore. And so Mike Brown, let's be honest, he's putting out a better defensive lineup. It's no coincidence that the defense improves when you put out better defensive players. I will say, though, let me ask you this, because we've seen the offense struggle. Like, are we okay? And we just got to deal with it, I guess. But the offense, to me, has been the issue the last couple of weeks. Our defense has been solid.
Yes. Yeah.
And how do we overcome that tonight?
And it's not just that the offense has struggled. It's that it's tended to unravel at the worst possible times.
At the worst possible times. Yeah.
And I don't know if guys get winning time.
Winning time. I don't know if guys get tight. I don't know if guys get nervous. I don't know if teams make adjustments, whatever it may be. Hey, Jason, don't do that to me, baby. Jason Anderson on the walk-off right here. Our guy Nate Littlefield tried to track him.
He's got stuff to do.
You're going to do that to me. You're going to do that. Jason, bro, you're going to do that? You're going to give me the wave and keep on moving? Jason Anderson, Sacramento B, joining the drive, guys.
Hey, Jason.
I'm guilting you in this, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. That's okay. Anything for you guys.
Appreciate
you, man. He was halfway down.
Yeah, he was gone.
The promenade.
We met eyes, and I gave him that look. Like, don't do that to
you guys. I'm not going to have a seat in the workroom because you guys
are I know. My bad.
Fast.
All right. We'll keep
couple minutes. Couple minutes.
Two or three quick. Yeah. How are you feeling about this matchup tonight?
In my mind, it's a little bit of a toss-up. The Kings are going to give them a different look than they have in the past. They are less reliant on their offense, more reliant on their defense. Having said that, if they're not hitting shots, if the three's not falling, it could get away from them. But I think it's interesting that they're going to give them a little bit of a different look this time.
Jason, we were just talking about how the Kings are different from the last time these two teams played. Is the biggest difference in the Warriors just how much more they get out of Trayce Jackson-Davis?
Yeah, and I think that remains – like, we'll see what that looks like with Domas. Like, well, Looney killed the Kings last year. And now, those minutes are Trayce's. And does he body up and can he disrupt Domas the same way Looney did? Is he going to go grab 8 offensive rebounds in the third quarter when the Warriors break their back like they did in Game 7 last year? I don't think so, but, it's a different dynamic, and we'll see what that matchup looks
like. One more question, so make it count. Make it count.
I'm going to throw him a bone right here.
Okay.
Tell me about the Sac B's coverage of the Kings in the play-in and the playoffs, hopefully. What do you guys got going on?
We've all hands on deck. You can go to sacb.com. It's wall-to-wall coverage from not just our sports guys, but people outside of our sports department who have done every angle you can imagine. Tonight we'll have myself, Chris Biederman, Joe Davidson, Marcos Bretone, our photography staff who just does absolutely beautiful work. We've got people hanging back waiting to edit stories at the end of the night.
All hands on deck tonight.
You're going to be, I encourage everybody to go read everything, but there's, you know, it's going to take you a while to get through everything we're putting out.
How did Carmichael Dave get an editorial in there? Oh, was everyone gone? Was everybody out of town? Or
hooked that up?
Was it a big mistake?
I think Carmichael Dave goes way back with our guy Scott Labar, who's you know, one of the big bosses and a SAC B legend. And so I don't know exactly how that worked out, but you know, Carmichael Dave's always calling in favors with Scott. So
appreciate you, man. And in the SAC B, you can check it out online. You guys got a story, an article, Who's on the Mic, a rundown of local Kings TV radio commentators as play-in tournament begins. And so we get a shout out in there as well to Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins. And so appreciate the love, man.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to go get situated.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to bully you into this segment. That's usually not my way of doing things. I'm sorry, but I appreciate it.
You guys are great. I love you.
All right, man.
Thank you.
See you soon, Jason.
We appreciate it. Vontae Hill, Warriors TV pre and post game host. He's like the Warriors Kyle Draper, right?
Yes.
He joins us when we come back to the Golden One Center Drive. Got
actually not supposed to be receiving.
Apologies for confusion. There we go. There we go. Well done, Nate.
Nate, was that your computer or something?
Nate's playing radio DJ over here. Oh, they'll love this one. Yeah.
So I'm just trying to entertain the people, you know.
Do what we can here. We got you. Special guest joining us now. I've known him a long time, and he's a Warriors pre- and post-game TV host, and I think he may be one of the biggest Drapes, because every time go off on something, I get a text from, I love this, right? Vontae Hill is with us. P, what's going on?
Hey, Whitey, man. Long time no talk, man. I love you. I just get a kick out of Draper. Always crying about something, whining and throwing this box score. You know, he's paid handsomely, obviously. But it's always, you know, oh, man, the fans deserve better. So it's must-see TV. What is Drapes going to say after Adele?
You know what, Vontae? You know what, man? I came on your radio show earlier today. I was civil. We invited you on our show. I'm going to treat you with respect like you should do all guests. So I'm not going to throw smoke at you like the way you guys did with me. After today, just give us our flowers. I'm talking about the city of Sacramento, the city of trees, the city of winners, the team that ended the Warriors dynasty. I just want you to eat some humble pie after tonight.
I'll try, but I don't know what that tastes like. I've never had it before. Can you describe the flavor and everything that comes with that? No, seriously, you were very civil this morning, Kyle. I was actually proud of you, man. You couldn't came on talking that junk, but you and Shasky had a little smoke. There was some smoke there. It got a little spicy there, but for the most part, it was all civil because
Shasky's a hater. He's a hater, man. That guy is too negative for me. Mike, how do you put up with that dude every day? My gosh. Like, he is so disrespectful. He brought up Brock Purdy. He's like, how your Eagles feel about December 13th? I'm like, bro, y'all just choked away the Super Bowl. What are you talking about? I don't care about no meaningless regular season game. Uh-huh. You choked away the Super Bowl, Shasky.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Hey, even I had to fall back on that one. I was like, hey, man, I remember that walk out of Allegiant Stadium. I'm not bringing up football season. I don't know why he went there. We kind of lost on that one. Had to fall back with that one. But we got a big game tonight, man. The loser going into a disappointing all season, right? I mean, this is big stakes, fellas.
Yeah. Vontae, what do you think the Kings do that the Warriors are most worried about tonight? Whether Steve Kerr gets that whiteboard out, what's at the top of his list? Hey, guys, this is what they do that presents us with the biggest problem. What's at the top?
I think it's shooting the three and allowing them to shoot the three. The Warriors have had a problem with defending the three-point line when teams have gone off, whether it's Boston smoking them by over 50 or just last Friday against the Pelicans. The second quarter flipped the game. Why? Live ball turnovers are turning to wide-open three-point shots. Then the Pelicans got in the rhythm, and they were stroking it like they were last Thursday in Sacramento. 10-13 in that second quarter. And you notice the Kings shoot 48% of their shots from the three-point line over the last few weeks here. So I do worry about dribble drive penetration because the Warriors at the point of attack, there's a weakness defensively, which is why you always see them go to zone at times because they can't guard man for man. There's a lot of weaknesses defensively. So I do worry about Fox getting downhill, kicking out to the three-point shooters where you got Keon Ellis or Keegan Murray or even Sabonis out there for 15 feet where he's getting wide-open jumpers. The three-point shot tonight is going to be huge, and it's going to dictate a lot, I think, the result of this game on how the Warriors defend that three-point line against Sacramento.
Bonte, how has the toll of this season, the Klay Thompson stuff, the Draymond Green stuff, affected this team? And do you think they are supremely confident, like in years past, walking into this building?
Wow, that's a great question, Drapes. You know, it has taken a toll, right? I think, you know, the Draymond thing, they got through it. They were 19-24 for the most part. They've been rolling over the last 37, 38 games, one of the best records in the NBA. And they've won 17 of their last 21 on the road, which is flipped from last season when they only won 11 road games. And this year they win 25. So they've gotten through all the Klay stuff. Klay adapting and sacrificing to come off the bench. Now, I know he's going to start tonight, but he'll just take that role reversal and embracing it. His numbers actually went up. He actually caught fire here since the All-Star break. Klay Thompson shooting over 41% from three and 46 from the floor. So he's giving you 19, 20 every single night. So they've gotten through the toll of everything. But obviously, this could be the last of many for the Golden State Warriors. Could be the last time we see Steph, Dre, and Klay share that Warriors uniform on the floor together. Could be the last time we see being Andrew Wiggins or Jonathan Kuminga, because everything is up in the air if the Warriors lose this game. You don't have the highest payroll in basketball and not make it out to play a tournament, or at least not fight for a chance to get into the playoffs. This game is just for another opportunity to play another play-in game. So it's already been a disappointing season for the Dubs. So, I mean, this could be a lot. So I would hope that they're taking this game seriously, and I believe that they are, knowing that Sacramento can bring it in that building, the energy that the fans will produce at the G1C tonight. I think they're taking it very, very seriously. They don't want their season to end. They want it to last until May and June. These boys are used to playing for a long time.
Catching up with Bonte Hill, Warriors TV pre- and post-game host. And, B, what do the Warriors do here when it's like 3:45 into the first quarter and Sabonis has, you know, 9 points and 11 rebounds and Trayce Jackson-Davis is like tapping out? Are we going to see Kevon Looney? If Trayce Jackson-Davis can't handle Sabonis, you think we'll see Kevon Looney early tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I think they started to dust him off, Whitey. That's a good point with Lou Dog. You know Looney very well. He will be dusted off for about 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 13 minutes. And he's just a veteran. I think people sleep on the fact that he's a three-time champion. And in 2022, he had some of the more signature moments in the playoffs for the Golden State Warriors, whether it was Game 2 of the West Finals against Dallas when they're down 20 and Looney has a third quarter of the ages, or when he grabs 20-plus rebounds against the Grizzlies in a do-or-die game. Game 6, because the Warriors didn't want to travel all the way to Memphis for Game 7. Or Lou Dog in Boston, when he's the lone big in Game 4, alongside Wiggins, Klay, and Steph. He's a trusted agent for the team, so I don't think Steve Kerr's going to mess around. He's been dusting them off against Portland. He dusted them off against New Orleans. I think we will see Looney at some point. It won't be a detriment to Trayce Jackson-Davis if he's not playing well. He's a rookie. He's never been in this environment. This is an Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana. This is the NBA. This is the do-or-die game. There's levels to this, so I do think Steve Kerr, if he senses his rookie, if the moment is too bright, if Sabonis is cooking him in all categories, we will see a lot of Looney tonight for the Golden State Warriors.
You know, one guy that hasn't been mentioned at all on the radio today, Chris Paul. What's his impact for this team? What does he bring to this team, and how's he been playing for you guys?
You know, Drapes, I think he's been great. I think he's been great. Ever since he came back from the left hand fracture in early January, he shot over 40% from the three-point line. And I think the most important thing for CP3 tonight, being that stabilizer with the bench unit, the Warriors have the third-rated bench in all the NBA, and he's been the constant. He's been a consistent one. You ever heard of people about him? You ever heard of people about him complaining about starting or coming off the bench? And I think the most important thing tonight is he's going to be able to settle down a young Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga has not seen a lot of playing time in the playoffs over the last couple of years with the Golden State Warriors. His rookie year, he didn't play during that championship run. He just watched. Last year, he got a sniff against Sacramento. Then, you know, the last five games of that series, he was MIA. He was a non-factor. So I think in a game like this where Kuminga is trying to find his rhythm after missing six straight games due to the tendonitis, he's been back the last three. It's been choppy. It's been up and down. I think CP3, having a veteran like that, is going to help out a young athletic stallion, which the Warriors need tonight against the Kings. They need athleticism. And Kuminga provides that for the Warriors, and a guy who can get to the cup and get to the free throw line. So I think CP3, his biggest factor today, I believe, is not only running the offense, being in crunch time at times to make sure they don't turn the ball over, but it's getting J.K. going, Jonathan Kuminga off the bench, and getting them jump-started on hopefully a big-time run for J.K.
Yeah, and B, like you said, Chris Paul, he takes care of the ball. And I think that could be, outside of the three-point shooting, that could be one of the keys tonight. But I wanted to ask you about GP2, how much will the Warriors miss him tonight, and how exactly will they miss him?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you think about De'Aaron Fox, and they'll miss him for 13 to 15 minutes on Fox. You talk about GP2. We talk about Davion Mitchell, Keon Ellis, two guys who could pick up full court, 94 feet, if press point guards. Well, that's GP2 right there for the Golden State Warriors. And that's one less defender on De'Aaron Fox. So now you're asking a lot from Andrew Wiggins to basically cut the head of the stake off of the Sacramento Kings, and that's De'Aaron Fox. And look, he's going to get his. But can you force him into a 9 for 23? Or will he go off 10 of 17 or 12 of 18 and he's lighting you up for 35-40? So that's a lot more stress on Andrew Wiggins to defend De'Aaron Fox at a high level, because whenever Fox checks out the game, that's when I want Wiggins to check out the game. When Fox is in the game, I want Wiggins in the game, because is Kuminga ready for an assignment like that? I think he gets too handsy. He may fall for some pump fakes. We know the chef is not going to guard De'Aaron Fox at times, but maybe you see a little bit of Draymond Green that we saw late in the series last year between these two teams, where Draymond Green was picking up Fox late in the fourth quarter, a game four, sometimes in game five. So it is a huge blow for the Warriors. That's 13 less minutes that you have somebody pressing up on De'Aaron Fox, and it puts a lot more pressure on Andrew Wiggins to stay out of foul trouble and keep Fox out the lane.
Bonte Hill joining us. Bonte, let me ask you a question, man, about your fan base. Do they know basketball existed before 2013 and Steph coming? Like, I don't see any Monte Ellis jerseys, no Chris Mullin jersey. It's Golden State Steph Curry jerseys, freshly printed. Like, where's the fan base at? Where's the loyalists? Where's the guys that have been around during the Al Addos era and stuff like that? Wilt Chamberlain. Give me some Wilt Chamberlain jerseys.
Donald Foyle.
All I see is Steph Curry jerseys, man.
Hey, listen, man. Drapes is blinded by the blue and yellow. Whenever he sees the Warrior jersey, his vision goes blurry. It goes from 2010 to I need bifocals here. It's just got a curse on Drapes. It's like, you know, he sees a spell. It just hits him in the nose, and he's like, oh, what's going on here? So he starts sweating and everything. Listen, man, the Wilt Chamberlain jerseys are out there. The Monte Ellis jerseys are out there. The We Believe jerseys is out there. I will say some of our fan base is ridiculous. You got your Steph stands. You got your Clay stands. That's just fandom, right? I mean, these people are insane. They tell me that Steve Kerr can't coach. You know, they tell me that, you know, Steph Curry isn't clutch. My own fan base tells me what I need to know about the Golden State Warriors. I've been around the struggle where they made the postseason one time in 19 years. I know what it's like in the projects, man, not having televised games. So I'm going to enjoy this one. And you know what? If we earned the right to arrogant drinks. We've been waiting a long time for this, and we're not waiting to let this go. We understand the dynasty is slipping away. The good times are slipping away, but we're going to enjoy it until the wheels fall off. And so let us cook, Drake.
You know what you guys are like, Bonte? You're turning into Celtics fans. One title over the last 40 years trying to hang on to tradition. It's a new era in the NBA, big fella. The dynasty is over. Y'all need to hit the reset button, try to retool. This is the final year, and we're going to end it here tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, all I'm saying is people want to come play in the Bay, baby. You got high country. You got so many things to do, Drapes. We will be okay. The most stable franchise in the NBA. The Warriors will be okay as long as number 30 is rocking that jersey. So, Drapes, I'll be looking for the postgame show tonight. As soon as I get off the air, I'm rewinding NBC Sports California. And YD, you will get that text. I love
Are you with Chris Mullin? Are you with Chris Mullin tonight?
Oh, I won't bully tonight, baby. We're ready to rock and roll. You know, we got the Hall of Famers in the building. We got Teddy here. We got the VHF. We got it all covered. You know what time it is. Although they got me in the minor league studio today. I don't know what's up with that.
Are you in the Studio B? You in the small
studio? They got us in the
They don't even respect y'all anymore down there. That's crazy. Wow.
He's in Studio B for Bonte. Studio B for Bonte. Thanks, Bonte. Great to talk with you.
Fellas, appreciate enjoy the game. Always good to touch you, Whitey. White Draper, I'll be looking for those tweets. Looking for you. Talk about it. Too physical.
All right, man. Thank you,
Bonte. Oh, boy. When we come back, I love the fact that the beam bothers the Bay so much.
Yeah.
Happening now outside of the Golden One Center, we just had Daniel, the King of Doconia, come by.
Doconia.
Have you ever seen that guy before in the building?
I have seen him.
Guy goes around looking very kingly with an actual crown, and he suggests, I'm Daniel, the King of Doconia. Also, we have, let's see.
We had Manny.
Yeah, Manny came by.
Yeah, our guy, awesome. Manny to legit.
That was great.
We have Brett in Southwest Missouri watching and listening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a Seahawk /
Royals slash Kings fan.
Scared Seahawks.
Yeah. So thank you for watching, Brett.
We're worldwide,
and,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a dog wearing a Steph Curry jersey. Yeah, so surprise. Yeah. How about that?
You know, it's ridiculous. Uh-oh, I think I see a Chris Webber. Is that a number 4 Chris Webber Warriors shirt? Not a jersey.
A jersey?
A shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. A little more respect for that.
You know, I got to say, I don't know what this means, but Nate, you were out here last year.
I was, yeah.
And Trapes, you were probably, you know, inside or something. But last year, and it was different because it was a weekend. And again, it was the first game of a series. But the whole day was just vibrating because it was the first playoff game after the long drought.
Yeah.
And today it's just a little more subdued. There's tension and excitement. But it's totally different. Plus, we got this cloud cover.
It's 30 degrees cooler.
It's
today.
Today than it was.
So much nicer.
Really? Yeah.
It's so much nicer today.
But I don't think fans of either one of these teams really know what to expect today.
No, I don't think
so. It's the play-in factor.
Right. The play-in and the fact that it's not an actual playoff game, even though we should treat it that way. You know, I am seeing a lot of Warriors jerseys. Are you surprised by? Are you seeing more
a little bit
than you're comfortable with?
There's an orange Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's the one you get in Mexico. You ever been to Mexico City?
No, I haven't.
Like they got the. I was there for the Celtics and Kings, and instead of Larry Bird, it was Larry Bird. Duh, duh. Like 2 G's, and you know what I mean? So that's what that guy got an option in Mexico. So it was like the knockoff, you know? Instead of De'Aaron Fox, it was De'Aaron Fox.
Sure. So there's no copyright in
those shirts right there.
We got some Draymond, anti-Draymond shirts.
Bleep Draymond.
Draymond. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, it's kind of spicy out here.
Thank you, Bobby. Bobby likes my Rochester Royals.
Yes.
Yeah. Celebrating 100 years of Kings history.
Well, I think a big part of the
team that should have
the population thing. I mean, it is a weekday. It's, you know, it's Tuesday, Saturday. Yeah. I mean, we got here at noon and it was shoulder to shoulder. No pun intended.
Okay.
Just the whole place, just nonstop. So I think, just the time of the
week. It was
a
celebration last year before the game even started. People gathered to celebrate what a great season it had been. And this year, we're still not sure what this season is.
It's kind of an anticlimactic a little bit, like because we were chasing the top six all season long.
Yeah.
And then last week of the season, we collapsed into the play-in. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Warriors fans, because they knew they were in the play-in back in January, basically. They've been mediocre.
I mean, they had to hustle to beat out Houston.
Yeah. So they were preparing for the play-in. And so it's a – oh, we got – is this a Kessler Edwards?
I think that's Garrett Temple.
Is Garrett Temple
17? Let's see.
Pico. Oh, that's a
custom.
I was about to say, I'm like, Kessler Edwards jersey? That's a true fan right there. My gosh. So what do you think about this season, where it ends up tonight, win or lose – how are you feeling?
It's
like,
gonna be.
It could be over, Whitey. I'm not to be negative, man, but it's 4:53.
Hear that,
could
Chris
be
the mom?
Over
this
in
is,
like five
this
hours.
This is Drapes who just said that, Chris the mom. It could be over. Yeah, I know. It'd be very disappointing. I've been a little bit, you know, today, kind of because realizing, wow, it could end. I don't want it to end.
Right, I'm not ready.
Yeah,
and you know what that means when it ends. We got to do 5 shows, 2 to 6 every day.
Oh, I look forward to that with you.
No, from the studio.
I look forward to that.
We got paid time
off. Talking baseball. Yeah, I look forward to that. But you know what I love about this matchup? There was I think it was the Examiner. I forget which publication.
Yeah.
In the Bay Area. Somebody wrote something, taking cheap shots at Sacramento. And it was, the beam is so annoying. And now they have this other new annoying.
Oh, sfgate.com.
It's like Chronicle, And it was a really stupid piece. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to give it any more credence. But I love the fact that the beam irritates the Bay Area so much.
Yes.
I think they're jealous.
They are jealous. And then they went on to say that, you know, the Kings have a new gimmick, the defensive player of the game crown. it's like, it's not a gimmick. It's, we've been doing that all season. Last year we did the chain.
It's a cheap shot. The whole thing is a cheap shot that falls short of the mark.
You know what it is? It reeks of arrogance.
Uh-huh.
And the Warriors have to understand their money's not long enough to treat us like that. They're a decades-long team. They won championships way back, you know, when the rules were different and before the three-point line was invented and everything like that. But you know, by and large,
says the guy who's seen one in 1951.
I know. Right? But by and large, their fan base is from the last 10 to 12 years, and so they haven't been through the battles enough. They haven't had the attrition like we have to have this arrogance. Now, if they were the Celtics, the Lakers, shoot, the Bulls even, okay. But this Warriors run, it's recent. Like, and a lot of these fans, they, you know, 10 years ago, they were in our shoes. 15 years ago, they were in our shoes.
Yeah, and it's a fact. The Warriors are in decline. The Warriors, the great Warriors dynasty and all that, they were the 10 seed this year.
Yeah.
Now, I know the Kings were just one better, but we're talking about the Warriors, the dynasty, a 10 seed. The Kings, we hope, we pray. The plan is for them now, no matter what happens tonight, for them to be ascending after last year and then this year, you know, back-to-back 40-plus win seasons. That's good. But there's every reason to think the Kings, if they play their cards right and handle this crucial offseason correctly, that they're going this way.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no way the Warriors are going that way.
Right.
It's just a matter of fact.
Because they're aging. I mean, our
That's
guys
it.
Are just now really entering their prime. The next 4 to 5 years for De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, they will be at the top of their career. And then you throw in an ascending Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
And you have options, whether you bring Malik back, whether you make some trades or something like that. Like, the future is bright for the Kings. We're at the beginning of our ascension. The Warriors are at the end. You know how it's like,
the beam is bright too.
You're an amusement park guy.
Sure.
You know, you've been to Six Flags.
I have been.
Out there in Vallejo. You know, when you look at the Warriors and the Kings, the Warriors are the team, the people on the end of the roller coaster when they just finished the ride and it's like, it was fun, it was great, but now it's over.
Yep.
We're the people hopping on the roller coaster.
That's a great way to put
it. Excitement,
yeah.
That energy. And so we're at two different levels right now.
Yeah, yeah. We're like Space Mountain or Star Tours or something at Disneyland, and they're like the Jungle Cruise.
Right? It's a small world or something like that. It's like that last ride you do at night to wind your kids down before they go
you're
to
right.
bed.
No, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah. But the beam is bright and Warrior fans are jealous. Yep. When we come back, if this game comes down to one thing, what is it? Next with The Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.